Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Pei Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On the top of Daf Pei Tes, the Gemara has the Dibur HaMaschil from the Mishnah, Chatzi Lug Shemen L'toida. Before we learn the Gemara itself, let us take advantage of one of the features of our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system, the Nosei topic heading that you find in the outside margin. You'll notice we have written in under the Nosei, Machlokes Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We'll see a Tanaic controversy between these two great Tanoim. Mahu Hamokor, what is the source, L'chatzi Lug Shemen Shel Lachme Toida, for the Chatzi Lug amount, the half Lug, a Lug is a liquid measure, a half Lug amount of Shemen, of oil, that's required for the Lachme Toda, the loaves that constitute the Toda offering. The Toda offering is a sacrifice that has, in addition to an animal that's slaughtered, there are also 40 loaves. 10 of the 40 loaves are chometz. Those do not involve our discussion. We are interested in the three types of loaves that constitute the matzah, in other words, three types, each one 10 loaves, accounting for 30 loaves. The names of those are chalos. You have chalos and matzos that are chalos matzos, we should say, rikikin and revucha. Three types of loaves, each one of them requiring shemen. Altogether, they require a half lug of shemen. Turning now to the Tanaic source, Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ma Talmud Loimar, Bashemen, Bashemen, Shnei Pomim. In the context of the Lachme Toda, the Posuk makes reference to the word Shemen twice. The Posuk that we're referring to right now can be found in the Rashi on the top line. There Rashi quotes the Posuk, Chalois Matzos Belulos Bashemen, Urukike Matzos Meshuchen Bashemen. So you see the word Bashemen written twice. At this point in the Tanaic source, you notice we have a bracketed section. We should point out, of course, and I'm sure you're familiar from it from your introduction to the marking system, that those sections of the Gemara found in frames, like you see this one, are Tanaic in origin. The brackets that we have here indicate that this section ought to be skipped upon our initial learning. The length of the bracketed section, you can see by glancing to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a vertical dash dotted line. That indicates the length of the bracketed section. If you notice, we have a little note on the inside margin accompanying these brackets, and we've written, Sograim L'shein Diluk. This bracketed section is for initially skipping. Besochom L'shon D'boi Tikun. Within the brackets is language that requires some redoing, some fixing. So initially what we do is we skip the bracketed section and read on. So let's do that together. We read Rabbi Kiva asks, what is meant by the double bashemen bashemen expression? So skipping the brackets, ilu lo ne'amar bashemen kol ikur, had the word shemen not appeared at all in the context of the korban toda, Hoyisi Omer, I would have said, Harehu kechol ha-menachos lelug. I would have said it's like all other menachos, that standard menachos require a full lug of oil. Lug, we mentioned before, a liquid measure. Achshov shenemar bashemen bashemen, now that the Torah uses the word bashemen twice, have a ribui acha ribui. It's a double inclusion, in other words, writing nothing I would have on my own known that there is a shemen requirement. Writing the word bashemen once, that would have indicated some type of ribui, an additional shemen requirement. writing the word twice indicates a double inclusion. When you have a double inclusion, it's called a ribui acharibui. The ain ribui acharibui elo lema'et. The function of a double inclusion is almost as a boomerang. In other words, it actually serves to reduce. Mi'ato hakosuv l'chatzi lug. And as a result of the double bashemen expression, we reduce the amount of oil required for the korban todah to a half lug. Before going any further in the source, we must go over the section that we skipped. So let us read from the beginning of the Brice again, realizing that that which is within the brackets is not accurate, and the Gemara itself corrects it. So we start from the second line from the top, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, Bashemen, Bashemen, Shnei Palmim. Why does the Torah write the word Bashemen twice in the context of the Korban Toida? So the Brice says, Ilu Lo Ne'amar Elo Bashemen Echod, had the Torah written the word bashemen only once, hoyisi omer harehu kechol hamenochos lelug, I would have thought that the lachmei toda are like all other meal offerings, deserving a lug of oil. Achshov shekosa bashemen bashemen, now that the Torah has written it twice, havei ribui achar ribui, it is now a double inclusion. The ain ribui achar ribui elo lema'et, and the role of a double inclusion actually serves to reduce. Mi'ato hakosuv l'chatzi lug. The Torah is reducing the amount of oil required for the lachmei todah to a half lug. The Gemara now interjects, ribui acha ribui. The fact that the word bashemen appears twice, you call that a double inclusion? Chad ribui hu. It is a singular ribui. The feeling is at this point that one appearance of the word bashemen, that is needed ligufe, that's needed for the korban itself, to tell me that the korban, that there is an oil requirement. So how can you say that the second bashemen is a double inclusion? It essentially would have been a single inclusion. So why do you call this an example of a double inclusion which eventually reduces? Elo. So now the Gemara goes on, this Brisa goes on with the more accurate version. The Gemara here is presenting the more accurate version of the Brisa, in which we will see how, in fact, it is a double inclusion. Ilu lo ne'amar bashemen kol iker, had the Torah not written bashemen at all, I would have understood that there is an oil requirement. Hoyisi omer harehu kechol hamenachas lelug. I would have on my own understood that it is like all other meal offerings requiring a lug of oil. Achshav shenemar bashemen bashemen have a ribui achar ribui. Now that the word bashemen appears twice, it in fact is a double inclusion. The ain ribui achar ribui elo lemait, and the role of a double inclusion is to reduce. Mi'ato akosuv lechatzi lug. It has reduced, the Torah has reduced the shemen, the oil requirement for the lachmei todah, to a half lug. Yochol yehe chatzi lug ze mischalik lishloishes minim. Should you think that the should we assume that the half lug is divided amongst the three types of matzah of the todah, lechalos urikikin urvucha, that they should be divided, that the oil should be divided equally. So if you have a half lug for three types, you would in effect have a sixth of a lug for each kind. 3/6 is a half. Is that the way it's to be divided? So the Brisa says no. Kishu omer bashemen beravicha she'ein tamud lomar. The word bashemen appears, and an additional bashemen appears in the context of the revucha type loaves, which the Torah didn't have to write that. Ribo shemen leravucha, from the fact that the Torah writes the word bashemen by the revucha. The pasuk, by the way, it can be found in the Rashi Ksav Yad, third line of the Rashi Ksav Yad. The pasuk we're referring to right now is V'hikriv al zevach ha-toido chalos matzos b'lulos b'shemen urukike matzos meshuchah b'shemen v'solos murbeches chalos b'lulos b'shemen. Up till now, we were dealing with the first part of this pasuk. Right now, the focus is on the end of the pasuk, where mention was made of the solus murbeches chalos bululos bashemen. That word bashemen is of an extra nature. And the reason for that is that when you see a revucha, we know in general that a revucha has oil with it. A revucha is a type of loaf. Rashi points this out on the upper part of the Rashi commentary. He says on the first narrow line, that because you find the shemen by revucha by the chavitin. The minchas chavitin is described as al machvas b'shemen tase mur beches. So you see that the revucha has shemen from another source. Why by the toda is there an additional mention of shemen by the revucha? So the answer to that is it's ribo shemen l'revucha. Ha ketzad, how do we now make an accounting? Answer, mevi chatzi lug shemen, you bring a half lug for the matzah loaves of the todah, v'chotzeu, and split the half lug into two parts, chetzeu l'chalos rikikin, namely a quarter of a lug, which is, when it says chetzeu means it's a half of the half. So, if you were starting off with half a lug, half of that is a quarter lug for the chalos and rikikin. Those are two of the three types of matzah loaves. The chetzio and the other half l'revicha, for the revucha type loaves. So you would, it ends up that instead of what the havamina would have been, that you should divide the chatzi lug into equal parts, which we said would have been a sixth of a lug per kind, we're saying now no, by the revucha, it's not going to get just a sixth of a lug. It's going to get a quarter of a lug, which is what was meant by what the Brisa said two lines before, Ribo Shemen the Revucha. There is an extra amount of oil for the Revucha type loaves. Amar lo Reb Elozer ben Azariah, after hearing all of this, this has been Rabbi Kiva's presentation up till now, he says, Akiva. He addresses Rabbi Kiva as Akiva, im ato marbe kol yom kulo bashemen bashemen, even if you all day try to insist on the double expression of bashemen as being something that's a riboy, and hence calling it a riboy achariboy, which is memayet eini shomei aloch. I don't accept your approach. I don't accept the conclusion that a chatzi lug is derived from the double bashemen. Elo, rather, my source for the chatzi lug is really a halacha lamoshim yisin. It's an oral tradition, and he goes now on to list three points that Reb Elozer ben Azariah has on the basis of an oral tradition. So point, the first one is chatzi lug shemen l'toda, which has been our topic. Uravias shemen l'nozir, uravias, a quarter lug of oil for the nozir meal offering that he brings at the conclusion of his nazirus period. And the third point, v'achad osor yom shebei nido l'nido halacha l'moshe misinai. And the third of the three points that are all halacha l'moshe misinai is this halacha concerning the 11 days between the nida periods that a woman experiences, generally speaking, from month to month. We are not, in the context of our shir, going to elaborate whatsoever on this last point. It is dealt with in other sugyas elsewhere in the Shas. For those who really want to delve into the issue of the 11 days between Nida, between the Nida periods, the Rashi Ksav Yad elaborates. The Lug Hoya Modeid. The Mishnah mentioned that the Lug was used for the measuring of your standard Korban Mincha, was the Lug quantity was used. Tonu Rabbanan. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. Ha di amrinon di isoron soles boi lug shemen. That which we say that an isoron is a dry measure, an isoron of soles, of the flour, requires a lug of oil. Machlokes tanoim, we will see in our sugya a tanaic controversy, im boinon lug lechol isoron v'isoron. Is it such that we require a lug per isaron, which would therefore mean that if you have a mincha containing several isronas, you would have to have a separate lug of oil per isaron? Oy shalug bo kechelik mi mincha, or do we say that the lug is something that comes as part of a mincha offering? Ve'afilu mincha shel shishim isaron, even a mincha containing 60 isaron, sagi belug echad, one lug would be enough. So is the lug measure something tied into the isaron, the dry measure Or is the lug measure something that's related or tied into the fact that you are bringing a mincha, regardless of the number of isronos that are there? Tana Rabbanan, turning to the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source. You can see it too is in a frame. The Mitzora Oni Ksiv. The Torah has two parshios, one dealing with a Mitzora who happens to be a man of means, of wealth, and an impoverished Mitzora. Both of these people, upon the conclusion of their Tzoras period, are expected to bring sacrifices. So in the case of the Mitzora Oni Ksiv, it says, the Pasuk says, Isoron Bolul Velug. And this teaches us, Limeid al Isoron Shetoun Lug Divrei Chachomim. This pasuk teaches that each Isoron that a person brings as part of a meal offering requires a separate lug of oil. Rabbi Nechemya v'Rabbi Elozer ben Yankiv Oirim Afilu Mincha Shel Shishim Isroinim Ein Lo Elo Luga. They disagree with the Tanakama and say that even a mincha containing 60 Isoron, it doesn't have any requirement of oil more than a singular lug. Shenemar lamincha velug shemen. As the Gemara goes on, there will be reference made to both of these opinions. If you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will notice that there are a number of squiggle underlined expressions. This squiggle underlining is used to help you follow who the speaker is. The Gemara will be dealing with what does each one do with the other one's source. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Hai Isoron Bolu Velug, Mai Avdilei. What do they do with the Tanakama's source, which the Tanakama had said indicates a separate lug per Isoron? They, on the other hand, say not so. So what do they do with that pasuk? Answer, Hahu Legufe. It's needed for itself. To Ko'omar Rachmona, the Torah is simply telling me, Laisi Chad Isoron, that there is a necessity for the Mitzora Oni to bring a singular Isoron. It may be pointed out that the Isoron, this meal offering, accompanies the animal offering that he brings. A Mitzora Oshir, a man of means who concludes his Mitzoras period, he brings three animal korbanos. He brings an osham, a chatos, and an oila. Each one of those animal korbanos has a mincha requirement. The mincha requirement is an isaron per animal. The mitzora oni, on the other hand, brings only one animal offering. He brings the osham mitzora. The osham is an animal. However, the other korbanos, namely the chatos and the oila, he does not bring as animals. He brings a lesser costly type sacrifice to fulfill his chatos and ola requirements. So the Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Lezer say that the posuk written by the Mitzora Oni is not to tell me a general halacha concerning quantities of oil regarding menachas in general, but simply to tell me that a Mitzora Oni has to bring an Isoron as part of his purification process, and this Isoron will accompany his animal Osham offering. The Idoch, the Chachomim say, Legufe lo tzorech. I don't need the Pasuk to tell me about the Mitzora Oni himself, the impoverished, the poor Mitzora, that he requires the bringing of an Isaron. Midagoli Rachmona Gabi Mitzora Oshir Gimel Karbonas Vegimel Osaronis. From the fact that the Torah Migoli means reveals, the Torah teaches us about the Mitzora Oshir having a need to bring three animal offerings, and each one of those has an Isaron, so for a total of three Esrainis. Hocha by the Oni, the Chad Karbon, Chad Isaron, where he is bringing one animal offering, he therefore brings one Isaron. In other words, according to the Chachomim, it simply follows suit from the Mitzora Oshir. So, therefore, the Pasuk of Isaron Bolo Belug is used for their teaching that each Isaron requires a separate Lug. The Idoch, Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Lozer, their response to what was just said, Itzterich, the Metzora Oni does need a special pasuk, and I would not have derived it from the Metzora Osir as the Chachamim claimed. Sa'akodai Tachamino, I would have thought, had there been no pasuk, Hoyol v'chas rachmona olei v'sui bedalus, since the Torah has compassion on the Metzora Oni to bring less costly sacrifices to fulfill his chatas and ola requirements, Emo lowly boy mincha klal. I would have thought that when he brings his korban osham, which happens to be an animal sacrifice, we will waive the mincha requirement. Once again, just like we show compassion on a financial level to the mitzora oni with regard to the chatos and olos sacrifices as waiving the animal requirement, allowing him to bring birds, let us say, which are less costly. So I would have thought along the same lines that the Torah, when it comes to the meal offering that is that ought to accompany the Korban Asham, that is waived as well. And therefore I need the Pasuk, what's called Legufe, to tell me about the Mitzora Oni requiring the Isaron. On my own I would have thought he doesn't require it. The Idoch, the Chachomim, what's their response to this argument? Legamri lo ashkichon. The Chachomim say, we don't find an expression of compassion for the Oni with a total waiving of requirements. So, namely, to suggest that he would bring Korban Osham without a mincha at all, there is no precedent for that. Now, the Gemara, after having focused initially on Rabbi Nechemyah, what do they do with the Rabbanan source? Now the switch is to the Rabbanan. What do they do with Rabbi Nechemyah's source? Rabbanan hai lemincha v'lug shemen mai avdilei. Just to review, this pasuk of lemincha v'lug shemen, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. It points to the arrow. It refers to the arrow above, opposite the second narrow line, second wide line of the Gemara, where this pasuk was quoted. This pasuk was used by Rabbi Nechemyah to show that even a large mincha, one lug of oil is sufficient. The Rabbanan, who said that each and every isaron requires a separate lug, what do they do with this pasuk? Hi, le mincha v'lug shemen mai avdilei. Answer: Hahu le misnadev mincha. This pasuk is coming to tell us about someone who volunteers to bring a meal offering. Shelo yivchois. He should not reduce the amount of flour midover hatoon lug from that which ordinarily requires a lug. Umay nihu, what is that which ordinarily requires a lug? Isaron. So in simple terms, this pasuk is telling me that one who voluntarily brings a meal offering, he should bring a quantity of flour no less than an isaron. The isaron being the amount of dry measure that accompanies a lug of the liquid measure of lug when requiring oil. The Idoch, Rabbi Nechemyah and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Tarti Shamas Mina. They will derive both halachas from this pasuk. Number one, the Isaron amount, and secondly, their halacha of even a large mincha, one lug is enough. Shisha lepar, arba la'ayil, shlosha lekeves. Minolon. From where do we know that a cow offering requires a half a hin? We should say, maybe more accurately, from where do we know that the hin itself has 12 lug, so that when the Torah makes reference to a chatzi hahin, I know that it's 6 lug. And when it makes reference to shlishis hahin for a ram offering, that's 4 lug. So it's important for us to establish that a hin itself is 12 lug. So from where do we know that? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, v'niskehem chatzi hahin yelapar. Here you see a reference to a half a hin of wine as required for the cow offering. Hin equals tresar lugi havion. A hin is 12 lug. Dichtiv, shemen zayas hin. Uksiv, shemen mishchas kodesh ye ze li ledorosechem. So where you see shemen referred to in the Torah, the word hin accompanies it, and here you have the word shemen with the expression zeh. Zeh begematria tresar havyon. The word zeh in numerical value comes out to 12. The zayin equals 7 and the hay equals 5, total of 12. From this we learn that the hin has 12 lug, and therefore the par concerning which the Torah says chatziah hin, that's 6 lug. Shloshu mechzu l'menorah chatzi lug l'chol ner. Menorah hanimili. From where do we know this teaching that each ner gets a chatzi lug of oil? The Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and before going on in the Gemara, we can glance at the title that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara: Chatzi Lug Shemen L'chol Ner Shel HaMenorah. The Gemara will be discussing this issue, this quantity, the half lug per candle of the menorah that sat in the Beis Hamikdash. So, from where do we know this? The pasuk by the menorah says, "Me'erev Ad Boiker." Tain Lo Midasa. Place in the candle, in the candle which is the bowl that sat at the top of each branch of the candelabra, the bowl that contained the oil and the wick is called the ner. So place in it midasa, a quantity, shetedolekes v'oleches me'erev ad boker, a sufficient amount that will enable the wick to burn from evening till next morning. Dover acher, me'erev ad boker, another teaching derived from this, ein lucha avoido, shekshera, me'erev ad boker elazu bilvad. There is no other activity in the Beis HaMikdash that is kosher, that is proper to be done after the tomid shel bein arbayim and all other activities other than this. In other words, in simple terms, this, the kindling of the menorah, was the last of the daytime activities. The Shiru Chachomim Chatzi Lug Meurto V'Ad Safra, and the Chachomim evaluated or estimated that they calculated, more accurately would be to say that they calculated a half lug from Urta, from evening until Safra the next morning. How was this calculation made? Iko di Amri Milamalo Lemato Shiaru. One approach says that they started with a great amount and found that it burnt more than a night, and they thereby reduced the amount until they hit it on the head to find the exact amount that would burn for a night. The Iko di Amri Mimato Lemalo Shiaru. The other approach says that they started with a small quantity, an amount that they found did not burn for an entire night, and found that they needed to increase it, so they would increase it until they reached the exact amount for a full night. These we called Aleph and Beis, two approaches. The Gemara now explains a little bit more, but first explains the second approach, and that's why we have a little Beis in parentheses corresponding to the Beis that was encircled. Man di Omar mimato lamalo, the approach that says start with a very small amount and work your way up until you get to the exact amount. Shiaru, let's read that again. Mimato lamalo shiaru. Why? HaTorah Choso Amamonon Shel Yisrael. The Torah has compassion for the wealth of the Jewish people, so that they started with as little as possible, thereby not wasting any oil. So the first test revealed that they didn't have enough. There wasn't enough oil for the night. So the next time they ran the test, they increased it a little bit, until they hit the right amount. But in such a test, they didn't have any situation where they started off with too much. Uman di Omar mimalo lamato shiaru, according to the approach that says they started with a great amount of oil, finding it to have more than enough, that more than they needed. This approach is an outgrowth of the following idea: Ein anius b'mokom ashirus. There is no poverty in a place of opulence. Namely, the Beis HaMikdash is a place of wealth, of opulence, of riches. So in such a place, it's not appropriate, it's not fitting to practice something that would show miserliness or thriftiness. And therefore, when running a test, start with as much as you want. even if it's more than what is really needed, and no worry that there will be leftover. And even if we have to dispose of the leftover oil, it doesn't matter because of this consideration of ein anius b'mokam ashius. We don't want to show a practice that would show a type of miserliness in the context of the Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah that we now learn, before we learn it, let's just glance at the topic heading. We've called this sugya in a very brief title, Taruves Nesachim, the issue of mixing the Nesachim. The Rabbeinu Gershom points out something that will make things much easier to understand in his commentary. You'll see there's a little star toward the bottom of the page, three lines up from the bottom toward the end of the line, Ma'arvin Niske Purim. Hai Niske, the term Niske in this Mishnah, Mishemen Umincha V'yayin, the word Nisochim will refer to all of these items in this sugya. Hakol B'yachad Kori Nisochim, the oil, the flour, and the wine, all of them together are called Nesachim. Turning to the Mishnah, Me'arvin Niske Purim B'Niske Elim, the meal offering of a par and the meal offering that accompanies a ram have the same flour oil ratio. For every isoron of flour, or we can say that like this, we could say that there were two lug of oil for four isoron of flour. That statistic is true with regard to the ayil. In the case of the cow, you would have six lug of oil and three isaron of flour. So for every isaron, you would have two lug of oil. In the case of the ram, you would have two isaron and four lug. Once again, two parts, two lug per isaron. So that the cow and the ram had the same dryness or dry-wet ratio. In the case of a keves, a sheep offering, there it was called considered a more liquidy offering. There, for one isaron of flour, you had three lug. So as opposed to the ayil, which for two isaron there would be four lug, and the cow for six, for three isaron there would be six lug, which in the case of the cow and the ram, as we said, it was two lug per isaron, and the sheep it's three lug per isaron. So when it comes to the mixing of these doughs, if one mixed the nesachim brought for a cow with the nesachim brought for an ayil, he wouldn't be changing any of the ratios. Niske kvosim b'niske kvosim, the Mishnah says as a second example, one could mix the nesachim brought for this keves with the nesachim brought for another keves. It should be pointed out that the Minchas Nesachim was a type of korban, type of meal offering that was burnt completely on the Mizbeach. So if these Nesachim were mixed with one another, no problem. If it's like type batters, type like type doughs, Shel Yochid B'Shel Tzibur. Likewise, a mixture of the Nesachim of a private person's keves offering with the nesachim of a public keves offering. Shel yoim v'shel emesh. The nesachim of a korban brought today with the nesachim brought of a korban where the animal was brought yesterday, and only the next day I decided to bring the Nesachim. The fact that the Nesachim are for two different days animal sacrifices, that doesn't make any difference, that doesn't bother us. Those kind of mixtures are okay. So that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, it provides us with four examples of Nesachim mixtures that don't pose any problem. Avol, Eimar v'niske kvosim v'niske porim v'elim. But one is to make sure that there is no mixing of the Nesachim brought together with sheep with those brought together with the cows and rams. And we explained that before, because in the case of the sheep, the liquid dry ratio is different from the cow and ram Nesachim. And in such a case, if they do get mixed up, so the amount of oil that was in the sheep offering is drawn into the cows and the cow and Elim Nesachim, causing the Nesachim, the Mincha of the Keves, to be Chaser, and the Mincha of the Parim and Elim to be Yeser, to be have more than it requires. V'im bolulon elu b'fnei atzmon. V'elu b'fnei atzmon. Let us say the menachos were prepared of the cow mincha was prepared, the dough was prepared, and the dough of the keves offering was prepared. V'nis arvu, and after they were prepared, as opposed to the earlier part of the Mishnah, which was supposedly describing prior to the doughs actually being completed. Here, where the doughs are completed, and then they got mixed up. Vinis arvu ksherim im ad shelo bolal posel. However, if before they are mixed together and prepared as doughs, and they got mixed up, that would be unfit. Hakeves habo im ha'oimer. The sheep offering that comes with the Omer, Afapishim in Chosok Fula, even though the Omer has two Esroinim of dry measure, Lohoyu Nesachav Kfulim, the wine and oil that came was not doubled. So as we take accounting of the Mishnah describes different situations of Nesachim getting mixed up that don't pose any problem. Those are fairly straightforward. Then the Mishnah describes situations of Nesachim that do get mixed up. The Mishnah seems to make a distinction between them getting mixed up before the doughs are, the flour is kneaded together with their respective oils, as opposed to cases where after the doughs were prepared, then only then they got mixed up. The opening of our Mishnah said Me'arvin Nesachim. It said the Loshin was Ma'arvin Niske Porim B'Niske Elim, which sounds like that's what one can do L'chatchila. One is able to do this, to mix them together. To this, the Gemara raises an objection. Before we go further, though, we should glance at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. We see a triangle featured. In parentheses, we've included the word Ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a back and forth structure of Gemara. It was a give and take discussion. So when we see the triangle point facing up, we realize that that's a question. With the triangle point facing down, tshuvos, those will be responses. And we've added, ha dekotoni b'mishnasenu ma'arvin niske porim b'niske elim, that which the Mishnah teaches that one is to mix the nesachim that accompany cow offerings with those that accompany ram offerings. Ha'im hu l'chadchila oirak b'di'eved. Is this something that one can do at the outset, namely straight away mix them, or is it something that only post facto, if one mixed it, then we say it's kosher? In the course of the Gemara, we will be highlighting Abaye's name with a crown marking. V'raminu, turning to the Gemara. The Gemara raises an objection, a contradiction. The Pasuk says, V'hik tiroi, shelo ya'arev chalovim b'chalovim. Chalovim are the innards, the fats of animal sacrifices that are to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The word v'hiktiro is you shall offer it, you shall, l'haktir is the offering into the fire on the Mizbeach. It's written v'hiktiro in the singular, you shall offer it, which indicates that one is not to mix the innards of different korbonos together. And we take this to mean the same thing with regard to Nesachim. One should not mix them together. So how do you resolve this with our Mishnah that says, it says that one is to Ma'arev, Ma'arvin Niskei, we saw. Response, Omar of Yochanan, Im Nisarvu Ko'omar. Our Mishnah is to be understood, in fact, as post facto, namely, L'chadchila, one is not to mix different Nesachim. If, however, they got mixed up, so the Mishnah teaches what one is to do in the different cases. If they're like-type mixtures, then im nisarvu, then it's okay. The Gemara asks, I hochi, ein ma'arvin niske kvasim beniske porim v'elim. That is also in our Mishnah. Da'afilu nisarvu nami loy. So, and that is to, that tells us, that that part, this part of the Mishnah tells us that even if they got mixed up post facto, b'di'evid, they are not acceptable. Well, v'ha, midakotoni, seifa, the fact that the seifa teaches bololon elu b'fnei atzmon, v'elu b'fnei atzmon, v'nis arvu, ksherin, the Mishnah taught that if the Purim Nesachim are, the Menachos are prepared, are kneaded together, and the Kvasim Menachos are kneaded on their own, and then they get mixed up, it's kosher. So the Seifa of the Mishnah spoke about the B'di'evid case, Mechlal D'Reisha L'chadchila Ko'omar. It must be then that the Reisha was talking not in a B'di'evid case. The B'di'evid case was the topic of the Seifa. So to explain, as Rabbi Yochanan did, that the ratio is B'di'evid, that does not seem to be. Omar Abaye. So Abaye comes to explain the Mishnah. And bear in mind, we have to explain the Mishnah in the context of the source that opened up this discussion, indicating that one is not to mix. So Omar Abaye, Hochi Ko'omar. Me'arvin Yenon. The L'chadchila expression of the Mishnah is that the wine part of the Nesachim can be mixed together im nisarev silton v'shimnon. If the flour and oil sections got mixed up, then the one is allowed to mix the wine. The Gemara asks, v'yenon l'chadchila lo, but the wine part of the Nesachim offerings, are you telling me that without some other circumstance it can't be mixed l'chadchila? V'hatanya, we have the following teaching, b'med v'mamurim, when is it that one is not to ma'arev the niskei kvasim with the niskei parim ve'elim? That's b'soilos v'shemen, that's only with regard to the flour and oil content. Avol yayin ma'arvin, but the wine you are allowed to mix together. The wine of the sheep offerings together with the wine of the cow and ram offerings, there is no problem with mixing them together and then offering them on the Mizbeach. So that to explain that the l'chadchila of the mixing of the wine is only on the heels of a post facto mixing of solus and shemen, that's not true. Ela Omar Abaye. Abaye offers a more complete explanation of this topic. And this explanation is designed to resolve all of the sources. Hecha de huktar silton v'shimnon. In a case where the flour and oil, namely the dough part, the baked part of the Nesachim, has been offered already on the Mizbeach, Ma'arvin Yayin L'chadchila. Then you can mix wine at the outset. Hecha Dolo Huktar, in a case that they were not offered, they weren't placed on the fire. So you have, nothing has been placed on the fire yet. im nisarev silton v'shimnon, if the oil and flour got mixed up, ma'arvin nami yenon, then you're allowed to mix the wines as well. V'im lav, if nothing has got mixed up yet, then ein ma'arvin, even the wine, one is not to mix up. Dumo osi l'ruvei soilus v'shemen, if one sees you mixing wine when nothing else got mixed up, they will think that you are allowed to mix the solus and shemen l'chadchila. And if one does that, he will be in violation of the Vehiktiro teaching. So that as far as the soles and shemen is concerned, there is never a situation of being allowed lechatchila to mix them together. And that's in conformity to the teaching of Vehiktiro that opened up this piece of Gemara. The Mishnah that speaks about a lechatchila mixing, that is in fact a lechatchila mixing when it comes to the wine. But that takes place only if something has already taken place. But an initial mixing of the wine, that too is not allowed, as a gzera otu, the case of someone thinking that one is allowed to mix the solus and shemen at the outset as well. We must point out that the Rashi Ksav Yad offers a far more elaborate explanation to this particular piece of Gemara, so that for a fuller understanding or fuller appreciation, we recommend looking into the Rashi Ksav Yad. But as far as the context of our shir is concerned, we place an emphasis on how to resolve in the final analysis the teaching of Hiktiro versus our Mishnah that mentions one is allowed to mix. And we concluded that this idea of allowing to mix on an almost lechatchila level, that is true with regard to the wine under specific circumstances, as Abaye already delineated. And as far as the prohibition of mixing things together, that is certainly true in the case of the solus and shemen. Keves habo im ho'omer. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this section, and the outside margin. We've written, Minchas Ha'omer, Afopi Shekamut Hasoyus Kfula, the Omer offering, which is brought on the 16th of Nisan. It is a meal offering, it's a Korban Mincha, and we point out that even though its dry quantity is double, there are two Isoron that come, Lo koiflim shimno v'yena, the oil and wine that accompany it are not doubled. Tonu Rabbanan. Uminchasoi shnei esroinim. That's the pasuk regarding the minchas ha'omer. Limeid al keves habo im ha'omer sheminchaso kfula. The pasuk teaches us that the dry measure that accompanies the keves, the sheep that's brought together with the omer, the mincha is doubled. Yochol keshem sheminchosik fula kach yeno kafel. Are we to say that just like the mincha is doubled in quantity, the dry measure is doubled in quantity, so too the wine shall be doubled? Tamilomar viniskoi yayin revi sahin. That's a reference to three lug. Three lug is the standard amount of wine that accompanies a sheep offering. And we're talking about a sheep right now. Yocho lo yehe yeno kafel. Maybe the wine is not doubled. She'eno nivlal im minchaso. The wine is not kneaded or mixed together with the soles. Avol yehe shimnoi kafel she'nivlal im minchaso. But maybe the oil content is doubled. After all, it is mixed with the mincha. And we pointed out that the mincha is 2 isaron, which is double the standard quantity. Talmud lomar viniskoi. And from this we learn, kol nisochav lo yu elo revias. All of the nesachim, including the oil, are to be only one revias. Revias is three lug and not doubled. My Talmudah. To appreciate this brief question, we look in the Rashi Ksav Yad. Four lines from the bottom, he says, My Talmudah, hai viniskoi dechad mashma. The word vinisko, which indicates singularness, Hainu yayin, that's a reference to the wine, kirichti viniskoi yayin. Avol shemen lo nafka le mine. The word vinisko is not referring to the oil. So the question is, how do you learn anything concerning oil from this word vinisko, which is a word used in the context of the wine? Hence the question of my Talmudah, how does this teach me concerning the oil? Omar Rebbe Lozer, ksiv vinisko, the word in the Torah is written with a hey at the end, vikarinon vinisko, and it's read with a vav at the end. Ketzad, how do we resolve the way it appears in writing and the way it's read? After all, their different gender shows that they're referring to different things. Ketzad, nisko de mincha, kenisko de yayin. The liquid that accompanies the mincha, which is the oil, is to be like the wine offering. Ma yayin revius, just like the wine is a revius, meaning three lug, af shemen nami revius. So too, the oil is a quarter of a hin, revius a hin, which is three lug. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, which indicates that that which follows is a new idea. In the outside margin, we've recorded the topic heading, the Nose, Dinoi Shel Rabbi Yochanan. This section will feature Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Osham Mitzora Sheshachtoi Shelo Lishmoi. The Osham offering that a Mitzora brings at the conclusion of his Mitzora period was slaughtered without specific intention in mind. In other words, as it was being processed, as the animal was being slaughtered, they were thinking about another korban. So that's an osha mitzora that was slaughtered shelo lishmoi, ta'un nisachim. It nevertheless requires its accompanying nisachim offering. Shim iata oimakein, if you say otherwise, pasalto, then you will have rendered it unfit. Of course, this osham shelo lishmo is not going to be sufficient to enable the owner to fulfill his sacrificial requirements. However, the question is the korban itself kosher as far as being offered on the mizbeach? So Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us, will teach us in this sukkia, that the osham mitzora has to have the accompanying nisachim in order for it to be considered a kosher sacrifice. Turning now to the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Osham Mitzor Sheshachtoi Shelo Lishmoi Toun Nesachim. Shim Yato Merkein, if you say otherwise, if you don't say like that, Posalto, you will have rendered it unfit. There's a Rashi in the Ksaf Yad, second line from the bottom, Posalto, De Lishanoso Lishem Zevach Acher, E. Efshar. To change this into another kind of sacrifice, this Osham Mitzorah that was shechted shelo lishmo, to go and to continue its processing as if it were some other korban, there is no option. Sherei l'shem Osham Hufresh, it was set aside as an Osham, which is a special type of sin offering, if you will. The Osham Mitzorah lo miskashir below nesachim, and the Osham Mitzorah is not acceptable without its accompanying offering, the accompanying wine mincha offering. Shein osha mitzora below nesachim. There's no precedent for an osha mitzora without nesachim. Maskiflo Rav Menashe Bar Gada. He raises a question. Rav Menashe raises a question. We're calling this a long question. As you can see, we have a long question marking. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a kuf that is encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. The thrust of his question is, there are other sacrifices that we know have things that accompany them. Are you going to tell me that in these other cases, and he's going to enumerate three additional cases, are you going to tell me that in those cases, if they are done, shaloi lishmoi, that the accompanying items must be present as well? If it turns out that they will be required, the question will be, then why does Rabbi Yochanan only teach one of these situations when the situation arises with regard to other cases as well. So let us start his question. Maski flor of Menashe bar Gado elomayato. Based on this, on what you're saying now, then keves habo im ha'omer, the sheep that it comes with the omer offering, sheshochto shelo lishmoi, that was slaughtered without proper intention, tehei minchoso kfula. Are you going to say that the keves that was done shelo lishmo shall have a double isoron, a two isoron offering, which is characteristic of the keves done lishmo, she'im iatomer kein posato, because if you say otherwise, then you will have ruined the korban. Another question. V'tomit shel shachar she'shochto shelo lishmoi. Let's say the daily morning offering that was done without proper intention. Yehei ton shnei gzirin b'koyin echad. Are you going to say that there are two boards of wood brought by a singular kohen must be brought with together with the tamid shel shachar shelo lishmo as well, shimi atomo kein, because if you were to say otherwise, pasato, you will have ruined this korban tamid. And a third question. The tamid shel bein arbayim, the afternoon daily sacrifice, sheshachta shelo lishmoi, that was also shechted shelo lishmoi, yeton shnei gzirin b'shnei kohanim, it will require the standard two boards to be brought with two kohanim, which is the requirement for a tamid shel bein arbayim done properly. And if you'll say, and because if they're not brought shima tamar kein posalto, you will have ruined it if you will have waived this requirement. So the Gemara says, in hochinami, there is an easier reading that's supplied by the Shitak Muvetzes, and he says in the Ois Ches, after reading the exclamation of Shima Tomer Kein Posalto, will you say you have ruined it? So the Shita says, V'chitemo in hochinami, and if you say, that's right, in all of these cases, in all of these three additional cases of lo lishmo, you still will require its standard procedure. Well, holo choshivahu, but Rabbi Yochanan didn't mention it. So to this, the Gemara answers, and we turn back to the text, Omar Abaye, Chado minayu noka. Rabbi Yochanan chose only one of four examples of a case of a korban done shelo lishmo, where we still require the accompanying elements to be present. Rava has a different approach. And hence we called him number two. Rava Omar Bishlamo Hanoch. The items that were in the list that Rav Menashe bar Gado introduced, those animal sacrifices are korban oilos. Those are Hanoch Olos Ninhu. And in fact, if the Ola is done Shelo Lishmo, then I don't require the standard accompanying elements to be present. And with regard to an ola, we say as follows: Ilo chazu le'oilas chova, karvi le'oilas nedafa. If you're not going to offer it as a required ola, because in this case it's done shelo lishmo, so it won't fulfill the requirements, karvi la'olas nedava, it can be viewed and offered as a voluntary ola. With regard to the realm of ola, there are olas chova and there are olas nedava. So if it doesn't fulfill the requirements of an olas chova, it can be brought as an olas nedava. Elohocha, but here in the case of the osham mitzora that was done shelo lishmo, Eloi mukmisle b'milse, if you don't establish it in its formal requirements, osham nedava mi'ika, is there such a thing as a voluntary osham offering? There is no such thing. Therefore, if you don't treat it as if it was done properly, you will be thereby rendering it totally unfit, being that there is no latitude with regard to the osham mitzora. There is no flexibility whereby we could consider it something else. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yochanan. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Yochanan. Asher Mitzora Sheshoch Doishul Alushmoi. Oishulo Nosan Midomo Al Gabi Behoinois. And Osha Mitzora that was done without proper intention, or the blood of it was not placed on the thumbs of the Mitzora client, Hareze Oilo Lagabi Mizbeach, it still is brought to the Mizbeach, Vitone Nesachim, and it requires Nesachim. Now this is the main point of this source, hence we've dashed, underlined it, because this is what Rabbi Yochanan's teaching stated. Vitzorech Oshem Achir Lahatiro, the client, the person who requires the Oshem, that is, the Mitzora, that is, we call him the client, who needs the purification process, he will need to bring another Korban Oshem to fulfill his personal needs. But as far as the sacrifice is concerned, so as not to render it an unfit sacrifice, we require, as Rabbi Yochanan taught, the bringing of its Nesachim. With that, we conclude the Shiur for today.